I watched my mom die for 4 years. She was 6 days away from turning 37. In 8 weeks, I am just shy of being older than her. And that, call it what you will, like, it will haunt you. It will put life into a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
And I've always said that I heard this from someone else, and it's so true, is like, my greatest fear in life is to move on to the next life, to see my mom and to meet a version of me that I could have been and know that I didn't fulfill that purpose.
Welcome to Cut the Crap with Beth and Matt, the world's number one no bullshit health and fitness podcast.
Are you ready to cut the crap with your diet and exercise, get strong as fuck, and build a healthy relationship with food? Then you've come to the right place.
Let's go. If you'd like to support us in the podcast, join our Patreon, where you get exclusive content, which consists of monthly workouts you can do at home or at the gym, monthly challenges that are either strength, habit, or mindset based, and access to over 100 plus low-calorie, high-protein, family-friendly meals. These are all designed by a professional chef who is certified in nutrition. These recipes are already in MyFitnessPal for easy fucking tracking. New recipes are also added each week.
We believe that fitness is for everyone, so this is our way of getting you started on your health and fitness journey at a price most everyone can afford. So what the fuck are you waiting for? We'll see you in the Patreon. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Awesome.
Super. Good Very to see good. You again.
Good to see you.
Looking fresh.
Hey, thank you.
So fresh and so clean.
how you been doing since Vegas, dude?
Good. I've been good.
Being intentional.
Being intentional.
I love it. Garrett's word is intentional.
It is my word. So my original name for my business was General Quad Fitness. It was a playoff of my initials when I first started coaching. And when I moved out here, I tried rebranding once and was like just not in love with it. And then it was a theme with like a friendship of mine. And it just kind of, the word just kept coming up. And I'm like, yep, that's it.
That is so sick.
So he's showing us his tattoo on his forearm. Yeah. That's awesome. How long have you had that?
That's new, right?
Yeah, I got it in Orlando. So
just this past weekend?
Yeah, there was a bunch of us at the Vegas conference that were going to go get flash tattoos, and it never happened. And my client won first in Masters, third in the Open, and we were like, we got done with Foca de Chow, and I was like out for like a meat sweats walk, and I was like, and I just saw a tattoo parlor, and I was like, yep. We're going to ship it. We're going to do it. So I was like tattooed. I was getting tattooed until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was just with Beth a couple of weeks ago, and I was getting a craving to get a tattoo at that time too. I was like, man, I'm starting to get the itch again. So
I know.
Yeah. That's awesome. Anyway, so Garrett, we're recording, we're doing this live, man. So for our audience, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit and let them hear your story?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, guys, I am Garrett GQ Query. That is my initials. It's been a nickname given to me a couple different times in my life. I'm not some self-proclaimed GQ. In a former portion of my life, I really dressed up a lot because it was a way to hide being overweight, or so I thought, right? I walked into high school at, I think I weighed in for high school football tryouts at 314 pounds at the age of 14, and graduated high school. I graduated a semester early from high school. I technically at that point weighed 360 pounds, started to lose weight. I think I actually walked high school graduation at 290. So I lost almost 70 pounds naturally. And then my like car broke down. The living arrangement that I had arranged for college fell through. So my tuition for school went from $13,000 to like $26,000 overnight. And I took that as a sign of like, hey, let's just take a year off. Let's cool it. And then unfortunately, 6 months later, we lost my mom. And that everything just spiraled. I began like relying on what I learned growing up in my family, like in the Midwest, was if you're sad, eat, angry, eat, happy, eat, like eat your emotions. And it spiraled out of control. And it's funny, it's like recently kind of come to mind, was it was right out of high school. I got into corporate America. I got a career job working for US Bank, and I would regularly grab 2 McGriddles, 2 hash browns, and a large OJ on the way into work. On my 15-minute break, I guarantee I was probably again grabbing like a candy bar and a bag of like Skittles or something, mm-hmm. and a soda. Then my 30-minute lunch, it was not uncommon to go to Little Caesars and get like a large pizza, crazy bread, and a 2-liter. Eat the entire pizza, eat all the crazy breads and smash like half a 2-liter of soda. And then at the time, like I was dating someone for 3 years who was also overweight, and I'd make like 2 pounds of pasta, 2 pounds of meat, and you know, easily eat probably a pound of each, you know, for dinner. No problem. Mm-hmm. I could eat. And then dessert on top of that, you know, on the regular basis and stuff like that. So definitely like ate my feelings and spiraled and at, you know, points was, I think, the highest I ever saw on a scale. Cause when you get that heavy, you don't regularly just step on a scale. It's really just not a great time. I think the highest I ever saw on a scale was like 396 as I went in for surgery, the morning of surgery for gastric bypass, given the influences that I had in my life. It seemed to be my only way out. Like it really seemed to be like anybody who had been successful in my circle of influence had gastric bypass. My mom, my stepmom, my best friend's mom. And then there was the oddball, my grandma, who had been successful on Weight Watchers. And that was it. So my circle of influence was like, okay, well, the only way out is to have gastric bypass. And I made that decision at 19 years old. I had gastric bypass at 19 years old. I weighed in at 382 pounds. And 14 months later, I dropped 160 pounds in 14 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I begged my doctor to like give me the approval. One thing that was crazy was when I woke up from surgery, like something clicked. And I begged my surgeon's office to allow me to go work out. I still remember it vividly to this day. Like I was, as soon as I could get up and walk, I was walking. I had surgery December 17th of 2010.
Okay.
And no, it would have, if I was 19, it would have had to have been 2009. December 17th of 2009.
That long ago.
Yeah. So it would have had to have been, yeah, because it would have been.
Well, shit, you're coming up on 15 years.
Wow. Yeah,
it would have had to have been almost 12 months after my mom passed. So it was like 11 months after my mom passed, I had gastric bypass. And I had the surgery. And I woke up from surgery, and like I said, something just clicked. I would, that January, like I went to my grandma's house for like a week. And I remember, I think it was like New Year's Day. And I was like walking up and down her stairs to get movement in because it was 47 below zero outside, record lows. And I finally got the approval to go to the gym. At the time, I was working at US Bank and I was working the 12:30 to 9 shift. And so I would, I think, get up and do some walks sometimes. And then I would always basically work out in the evening after my shift at work. I found a Snap Fitness that was by my apartment on the outskirts of town at the time. And that Snap Fitness, like it was literally like me and one other dude. Like I would see him regularly and he was like training for like a marathon or some psychotic thing like that. Running has definitely never been my thing. And I, it just like, it bit me and I got to strength training and working out and I just never looked back. I've been 15 years, I would say. As I sit back and look, I think 15 years, I'd be willing to bet that I've probably missed 6 months of training in 15 years. Like
all together.
I don't miss. It's ended a lot of relationships because of that.
Really?
I don't miss. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely,
why is that?
When it comes to my training, I'm extremely selfish.
And that's good. That's okay. I mean, you've got to be selfish for when it comes to your own health, because if you don't prioritize your own health, who the fuck is? So I guess my question is, why do you think your relationships ended because of that?
I think that's a piece of the puzzle. I think honestly, so in high school, I was like the odd male who envisioned my life of like, okay, I'm going to go, I was going to go to school. I was accepted to the University of Nebraska for pre-dental to go to school to be a dentist. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to go to school. I was going to go to UNL. I was going to meet my college sweetheart and get married and buy a house and have kids at 30 after a couple years of traveling and live the white picket fence American dream.
Sure.
And what was your question? Shoot.
You said you had some relationships that had ended because of your dedication to the gym. So I was kind of curious why those relationships ended because of that.
And so I think over the years, like I changed my identity around nutrition. I changed my identity around training. I changed eventually when I did start my business and start my career, I changed my identity about my work ethic and like how much I worked and this, that, and the other thing. And I think something that I've really recently realized is like, I never really changed my identity around relationships. And I've always tried to date people who are not into health and fitness, or I've gotten involved with people who are not into health and fitness, and it is not a priority. And that, especially to the degree that I take health and fitness to, even this most recent season that I'm really shifting gears into, of looking at competing in bodybuilding for the first time in my life, like, that's even another degree deeper. Mm-hmm. It's something that's not very easy for general population to understand and grasp and just realize. I don't go to concerts on Tuesday and stay out till 1 o'clock in the morning. To a lot of people, my lifestyle is very limiting, but I've realized this year, especially, I thrive and I feel my absolute best in this setting. Like I just like, don't get me wrong, I love a good country concert. I'm from Minnesota. I worked security for a music festival for a decade. That is the largest country music festival in the world. Like, I love country music. I love music. I love concerts. But there is definitely something to be said about how I choose to prioritize like my lifestyle and like where I want to go with these things. And it's not conducive to what a lot of general population tends to, how they choose to live their life.
Yeah.
I don't go out for tacos and margaritas on Tuesday and oops, I'm wasted. And oh my God, the rest of my week sucks. Like I don't do that.
Yeah. It's like you were morphing and changing and the people that you're with just weren't on that level. It's kind of like when you quit alcohol, you know, and you're not a drinker, you suddenly find yourself with a whole different crowd of people that are on the same level as you. And a lot of people just kind of sift out, you know, you will find your people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Changing priorities.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like,
I think that's why I always like, for me, traveling for education is so valuable to me because I always feel so at peace. Like those are my people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like even this past Sunday, I Sunday funded for the first time in, I think, 3 years.
What did that entail?
What does that look like? Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
I went to a charity event on Sunday, and then me and a good buddy, I hadn't had breakfast, we went for brunch, and you know, we had a few beers with brunch, and then it just ended up being, I live in Arizona. It was a beautiful 75 degree day and amazing patios. And it was,
you don't get many of those 75 degree days. It's gonna be 90 soon.
Yeah.
Right.
We just hung out and had, we didn't get crazy. I don't know. I probably consumed 12 to 15 beers over the course of like 8 hours, like
Sunday fun day. Yeah.
No shots, no anything like that. And, you know, there's a part of me, like the entrepreneur, like part of me that was like, felt guilty. Like, I'm just like, well, what are you doing? Like, that's a waste of time. Even though like right now, like I'm just in a season of like working my face off. Like I work 6 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day and work out, eat, and that's it. Like I don't, like a buddy of mine the other day, he's like, don't you get tired? And I'm like, dude, honestly, like I'm not dating right now. I'm not seeing anyone. It's me, my dogs, my work, and my workouts and nutrition. Like that's it. Like, and then I've gotten a lot more active in my faith. Like I attend 2 men's Bible study, 1 on Tuesday night, 1 on Friday morning, and church on Sundays. Like that's for the most part. And then the occasional networking event locally. And I try to put together some myself, but yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I like it because you're just focusing on yourself. And how old are you?
34.
34. Dude, you're still young. You're figuring shit out, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I know, cause I've been keeping up with your stories here for a while now, and you've gone through quite a change yourself this past year, and how you've been focusing on yourself and going through this kind of this personal growth journey of your own. Mm-hmm. And that's good. You're finding yourself, you're building, you know, your discipline, you're continuing to build your business and push yourself with your own personal health and wellness. And that's admirable. And you know, right now is a good time for you to be quote unquote selfish. Right. And I hate that we say that selfish, cause it's not selfish taking care of yourself, and especially right. Because you don't have anybody really relying on you right now. You don't have any kids or anything like that. And you've talked about your different relationships over the past and how you don't really have that to kind of contend with your time and commitment right now too, right?
Mm-hmm. That's like a really great point. Like you said, I recently read something from a pastor, and this was like my biggest takeaway from the entire book was, he's like, even in marriage, we need to maintain our singleness. And on to frame that around, you need to have a purpose and you need to stay in that purpose. And that was one of the most simple and yet profound, I think, like messages that I've ever heard. Because as a coach who's now been in the industry for a decade, who has served thousands of women at this point, and that is my primary demographic. And as of 2-3 years ago, like that's the only people that I work with is women. Is not only have I heard it in my own personal relationships with exes, but hearing it as a coach is so many women. Time and time again, I'll hear this statement: "Is I lost myself."
Mm-hmm.
And men don't tend to necessarily vocalize that, but we men will tend to lose ourselves as well, but we won't necessarily feel as devastated by losing ourselves. And I think that is, you know, kind of circling all the way back to Matt's like question of like talking about the relationships part, is I kept losing myself over and over and over again, and then over time I built resentment and became someone that I didn't like, and also started to treat people in a way that I did not recognize or like either, because I was losing myself. I wasn't being on my purpose, being my best self. And I think like it really all ties together of like someone, a mentor once said is like, look, I'm driving down the highway. I am not getting off on any, like, and by highway, I mean, I'm on my purpose. I am not getting off on any exit. If you want to pull up alongside and you want to hop in and you want to be on your purpose and we are on similar paths, dope. But I refuse in this season of my life to get off on any exit anytime soon.
Love it.
The conviction.
Yeah.
How did you develop that conviction? You said when you woke up that morning after the surgery, it was, you were a different person. Is that, to me, what that says is like you were given a new lease on life and you didn't want to take that for granted. That's what I hear.
100%, because I watched my mom die for 4 years. She was 6 days away from turning 37. In 8 weeks, I am just shy of being older than her. And that, call it what you will, like, it will haunt you. It will put life into a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
And I've always said that, I heard this from someone else and it's so true, is like, my greatest fear in life is to move on to the next life, to see my mom and to meet a version of me that I could have been and know that I didn't fulfill that purpose.
The unfulfilled potential.
When the world feels crazy and chaotic, remember that you don't have to. You deserve to take control of your mental and physical health. Cured Nutrition is trying to make it easier for you to do just that. Formulated with their trinity of ingredients, a blend of full spectrum cannabinoids, functional mushrooms, and adaptogens, Serenity Gummies are your answer to finding the calm in every storm. Cured wants you to feel good about feeling good. They took their time formulating their Serenity Gummies. They left out the artificial flavors, sugars, and dyes and replaced them with ingredients that actually live up to their clean label, wellnessy word. I've recently started taking Serenity Gummies at night for my nighttime routine to help me get settled after a long, stressful day, and they've been really easing me into a great nighttime sleep. Right now, Cured is extending an exclusive offer to you, our listeners. You can grab a bag of Serenity Gummies for 20% off by visiting www.curednutrition.com/CTC and using the coupon code CTC at checkout. That's CuredNutrition.com/CTC and coupon code CTC at checkout to save 20%. Protect your peace and pop a gummy.
It's so crazy when you talk about that you're almost your mom's age, because my dad passed away when I was young at 45. And that number has been so paramount in my life. Like, turning 45 was super emotional for me. In fact, that age is the reason I started my own online business, because my husband was 45 at the time that I'm like, you know what? I want to make sure that I'm not going to be left alone. Like, what if he dies? Like, he's at that age. My dad passed away. Like, what if I'm left with nothing? It's super emotional, and I can totally relate to how you're feeling right now and wanting to be the best person you can be.
Yeah. And I've had, there's always been, I want to be financially free by that.
Yeah.
100%. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Because something that's recently developed for me that was as early as 2 weeks ago, being in Orlando, that was really cemented for me, was that I want to be a dad. It doesn't necessarily have to be my own kids, because I'm at a very weird age of being 34. I don't tend to find most younger women. It's not that I don't find them attractive. I just don't tend to relate to them very well. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm not naive to the fact that women my age and or older oftentimes have kids. And sure. And like, I grew up in I have a unique situation of like, my grandparents were both divorced and remarried before I was even born. So I was blessed with not two sets of grandparents, but four sets of grandparents. And that definitely shifts. And then on top of that, my parents divorced when I was 10 and remarried by the time I was 12. So I had four grandparents. I had two sets of parents. Like, I come from a unique perspective of like, I'm okay with being like a dope stepdad father figure, but it's something that it's very like, I got to spend time with my client and her family. You know, she's happily married. They have two kiddos, and her daughter Aria like took to me, and I was immediately dubbed like Uncle GQ. She wanted any chance, she's like, She's like, can we play? Can I sit on your lap? Can I sit next to you? Can, like, the whole weekend. And in that experience of getting to hang out and play in like the pool, like time just stood still. And I was like, this is awesome.
That's a cool experience, man. Because I've definitely been in relationships with where, you know, my girlfriend has kids of their own. Like you said, I'm of that age. I'm 37 myself. So dating now definitely comes with the territory. And I've come to terms with the fact that I don't want any more kids. And that was a decision I made a long time ago too. So every relationship I've been in almost has been, you know, involving other people's children too. And it's a whole nother ball game then too. It really makes you step your game up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that to your point of like this journey this year, going through 75 hard, completing 75 hard, and kind of almost like this year and completing 75 hard was like that next epiphany of like, who do I want to become? As I realized after ending my engagement, I was with someone for 3 years. I was engaged to be married and I ended that in September. And there was some things that like, I am not naive enough to be like, oh, I wasn't responsible for pieces of that puzzle and the ending of that relationship at all. I've been in therapy for going on a year now. There's a reason I've taken an active role in my faith and in being in two men's Bible studies to take responsibility for my stuff, but also to become the man that is deserving of that future wife and family. Because I don't blame my dad. I don't blame my mom, but no one, because like my dad had me at 18 years old. Mm. 18.
It's young.
So the rude awakening that I've had over the last like 5 years and even the last year is no one ever taught me how to be a man. No one ever taught me what that looks like as far as like being a provider. And what that truly looks like, how to be financially sound, what a high quality woman looks for as far as like your willingness to provide those things, to pay for the meals, to pay for the home, to pay for the this, and also being mentally and emotionally like sound and calm, being able to be that rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what this has been all about, is becoming my absolute best version of myself. And I am of the belief, like I don't think you can truly, so many people talk about, oh, I've done the work and I've healed and they're alone. And I'm like, not really. Like you can't quote unquote, one, I don't think there's a destination of healing. Like it's an ongoing journey for the rest of your life.
I agree.
Yep.
But also is like something that I've realized is like, you can heal all you want by yourself and get yourself to a really good place. But until you have that mirror standing in front of you every single day, you haven't healed shit. Like that's when things get really, really like real, is when you have that mirror in front of you every day. And how do you handle that? Mm-hmm. And how does your partner handle that? And are they willing to grow? Are they willing to deal with their things?
Yeah, that's true. I was single, dude, for like 3 years. And then I got into a relationship and realized quickly that I wasn't ready to be in a relationship, because we just did exactly what you said. We both put that mirror up to each other and we weren't ready to deal with what we saw in the mirror. Essentially, we didn't know how to. And so, yeah, that triggered a whole new, you know, phase of growth for both of us outside of that relationship, because we're like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. So yeah, I get that. And then that opens you up to new opportunities once you do that work and go through that growth and heal, but on your own. And then you, like you said, I love that you said that, because you can only do so much healing on your own. You need to be able to also heal, because a lot of people have those relationship traumas or attachment issues, and that could be coming from our childhood. So you still need to confront those things in that relationship format if that's what's something that you're struggling with, because you're not going to do that without being triggered by somebody, essentially.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Love that. So you're being intentional with what you're doing and how you're going about your life, right? The plan you have for yourself, the disciplines you're creating, how you know what you're choosing to give your time, energy, and focus to. It's all intentional for you.
Yeah, it is. And I'll say this is like, it's not easy. You know, there is moments of weakness. There is moments where that internal fat kid still exists, you know, like that I will want to lean on food and cope with food or cope with like laziness, like vegging out on the couch and just watching TV. Like, and I'm not saying that because those things are bad. I'm saying that because like those things don't serve this season of my life or the version of me that I want to be. I think for most people, yeah, like sure, 45 minutes to watch a show nightly, go for it. Like it's really not that big of a deal. But you also have to be, I think if I can give anything to the audiences, you have to be really sit down and it's like, where do you want to go? What do you value? And what do you want to get out of life?
Mm-hmm.
Become really, really like good with what that looks like, what your life looks like, what you choose to partake in.
So how do we do that, Garrett? How do people start to get clarity?
Right.
Crystal fucking clear. How can we do that? Rather than how can other people do that? How did you do that for yourself? It wasn't overnight, right?
No. I think my coach brought it up, man, probably 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he talked about how him and his now wife had gone through a rough patch, and a coach or friend or mentor to him was like, Derek, you really just need to get super clear on like your values and what serves the highest you. And like when he wrote his stuff out for him, his number one was bodybuilding, because bodybuilding grounds him. It gives him discipline. It allows him to show up as the best version of himself in all avenues of life, as a husband, as a coach, as a gym owner now. That was his purpose and his value system. And I think as all the dust settled from the ending of my engagement, all of the emotion, all of the everything. So when I ended my engagement, I had essentially burned my business to the ground in 9 months. I had went from the best year of my career in 2022, the absolute best. Like when I moved to Arizona, my business did $24,000 in revenue for the entire year. $24,000. I was stupid broke. Mm-hmm. I had no business moving to Arizona. I maxed out every credit card I had. I was broke. By 2022, I did $250,000. But it was built on a foundation of sand, and it was already starting to crumble. Mm-hmm. And as my relationship was crumbling, like the end of December of 2022 was like basically someone lit a match, I lit a match and set it on fire. And over the course of 2023, it just burned to the ground. And what was crazy was I had actually, in the middle of December of 2022, I had actually finished 75 hard for the first time. Finished, I say loosely, because I actually missed one. Fun fact, I missed one day of reading, messed up, passed out. I was at a conference in Nashville, but I knew I was actually going on a 10-day trip to Mexico. I knew that trip was coming up. I wasn't going to restart according to the rules, but I was doing so well and the discipline was serving me well. I just kept going and finished out and what have you. And so I think as I kind of like, as the dust finally settles, cause like, so I left my fiance, I literally like, she sent me a text. I like in 48 hours, I was temporarily moved out of our home and I never went back. And by the time all of that, like kind of worked its way out, settled, I was renting a room from a friend I did not have the resources in Scottsdale to get my own place immediately. And then that situation was kind of like coming to a close. And I just made a decision. I hadn't been home for Christmas in 5 years. I drove across the country back to Minnesota. I spent an entire month with my family as my life was slowly but surely like getting back on track. And then, yeah, end of January this year, I moved into my own place here in Scottsdale. And I think like as I was home in Minnesota, I just kind of took collection of like, what are my values? What serves me the best? And what makes me the most happy? And for me right now, what makes me the most happy is my training, my business, the discipline of this lifestyle, and connecting with like-minded individuals and having like deep, meaningful conversations. Like that for me is huge. Like I'm a very deep person. Even when I do consume alcohol, like I am not a nightclub guy. Like that is not my jam. My ideal situation as a former cocktail bartender, like I was a mixologist. I have still a passion for that. Like I enjoy the thought process behind like creating and crafting a cocktail and melding of flavors and this, that, and the other thing. And it's fun. And so like sit me in a fine dining restaurant or a cocktail lounge where it's quiet and we can have deep, meaningful conversations. Like I am happy.
It's the social component of alcohol really what brings that together, right? It's the connection, and you could do that without alcohol, but alcohol brings people together in that regard too. It's not, and I hear what you're saying, because you're not going out and partying, getting blackout drunk and doing stupid shit with your friends. You're having real connection. Yeah. Authentic conversations. You're growing. You're learning from other people. You're learning about yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I think that's something that I really realized about myself. Like what most people consider fun, like even sports. I grew up. I was a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I still. I love the Steelers.
I'm a Cleveland guy, you know, so I had to give you that one.
I love the Steelers, and going to a Steelers game is really fun. Like going to a live game is really fun. For me, the thought of sitting on a couch on a Sunday for 4 hours makes my skin crawl.
Get me to a real game in person and I'll go. I actually saw the Steelers and the Cardinals in Arizona.
Yeah.
That was fucking fun with the towel, you know?
Yeah.
Terrible towels.
Yeah. Oh, the terrible towel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've seen Pittsburgh play 2 times.
Uh-huh.
The first time was actually here in Arizona, 3 months after I moved here, when they played at Arizona. And then the other time was like 2.5 years ago. I went to Ben Roethlisberger's last home game against the Ravens, fully anticipating them to lose. And he pulled it out and they won because they were terrible that year.
Yeah, it was last year. They were pretty bad.
They pulled it out. They won that game. Like that is an experience for me,
yeah.
But right. I don't know. It's just like, I was even talking to someone last night about like concerts. I was like, hey, do you enjoy concerts? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's like, how many of their songs do I know? What's like the venue? Like it's, I don't find escapism in just going to random things, getting fucked up with my friends and surface level things. Like surface level things drive me nuts. I cannot manage. I just can't. I don't like it. My idea of like a really good time, like last Thursday night, last minute got invited. So a guy by the name of Jimmy Rex out of Salt Lake City, Utah, big real estate guy, now runs a men's coaching company, started this in 2020. It's called $100 dinner. So the rule of thumb is you have to have $100 cash. That is your tip to the server as a way to give back to the community as well as a way to network. And so what I love about that is oftentimes you're going to sit in a room of people with similar values and willingness to actually like have real, authentic, conversations. And so I got to do that. Like I got to, this specific one wasn't actually at a restaurant. It was at a warehouse where they invited a food truck out, in which this family, like the husband, their food truck, they are doing 30 to 31 events per month.
Wow. And
it's making enough money to cover the cost of the food truck, but they don't really pay themselves. So this family's surviving off of the husband's $60,000 a year salary.
Wow.
And so we got 25 people out. We ended up gifting the family like $2,600 that evening. And like, that's my jam.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Giving back.
Love it.
So this has been like a 15-year journey for you. And what you probably, how many different transformations would you say you've gone through in that 15 years? I love it because it's like you use the word, a saying that I love to say as well, is the seasons of life. We love to talk about the seasons of life. You've been through many different seasons of life, and you're going to continue to go through different seasons of life.
Yeah. So seasons, man, there was the initial season, right? The initial season of loss, 160 pounds.
And what was your biggest struggle during that time too? After like, what did you struggle with? Cause we kind of glossed over that entire fucking thing, man.
Yeah.
The psychological changes of losing 160 pounds in 14 months, I wouldn't wish on anyone. The hormone changes, misunderstanding from family. My girlfriend at the time of 3 years was like getting ready to have gastric bypass herself, but hers got pushed back like 9 months. And 9 months into my journey, like our relationship was burning to the ground. And she was like, "You've changed, you're different." And it was like, actually, I just wasn't letting her walk all over me anymore. I was actually more confident in standing up for myself. And then even there was a season of my family, like they didn't understand. They were like, "You've changed." And I was at the time, a little self-obsessed. You know, there was a lot to process, a lot to cope with in the hormonal changes. So that would be like journey number one.
I also interject in there too. Like nothing pisses me off more than hearing "you've changed." It's like, supposed to. Like what's the fucking supposed to? You're staying the same. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, like we're supposed to be growing and evolving and fucking changing.
Yeah.
Like people say it's a bad thing. No, it's not. It's a good thing. Thank you for the compliment, my friend.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad I'm changing.
Why haven't you changed, man?
That's the whole fucking point.
I mean, right? Like, what the fuck?
It is. I've even said this year, if you knew me 90 days ago, you'd have no fucking clue who I am right now.
It's like, no, you didn't.
Like, no clue. And that's ever evolving. That would have been journey number one. Journey number two would have been, let's see. So that would have taken me basically to 21, was when I turned 21, and a month later, my relationship at that time ended. And then I got involved in the bar industry. I started security and worked my way up into bartending in a matter of 6 months, taking me into like 22 years old. And at that season of my life, I've always been a hustler. I worked full-time at US Bank and I bartended full-time. So I went through a season from like 22 to 23 years old, like 23 and a half, where I was working 70 to 80 hour weeks every single week, nonstop. Like I just worked my face off and then I worked out and I ate my food. But I was also, Beth, you can probably appreciate this, and being from the Midwest, given your history in the bar industry, is it was blackout or backout. Basically, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sundays were my nights off. I was averaging $500 a week in bar tabs, only going three nights a week in Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota. I like how you clarify that.
Right.
So I still
500 bucks is a lot different in Fargo than it is in LA, right? Or
it is. Or yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And so like I still worked out, but if you know anything about the Midwest, especially Fargo, North Dakota, like they're typically like number one drunkest city in America, or top five. And And so it was, that was that season. I still worked out, and about 23 years old, I had met my next long-term relationship at that point. And I started taking my training a little bit more serious, as far as like, I was actually following a training program and training with intent. And fortunately I had my youth on my side, so I could train with intent and get messed up.
And still be reckless.
Right, right. The joy of being young.
and see okay results. I pulled a picture not too long ago from that season. And as I stand before you this morning, I weighed in at 232 pounds. According to a DEXA scan 2 weeks ago, I'm sitting at about 12 to 14% body fat. And I rewind a decade to that time frame. I was not 12 to 14% body fat. I was not jacked in any form of imagination, but I was healthier. I was, honestly, at that time, I was probably, you, as a coach now, I would describe myself as skinny fat, right? Like, I had a little bit of muscle tissue on my body. I was smaller version. I was no longer 382 pounds, but I needed some more muscle tissue on my body and some more consistency.
That's not the picture that you had in your, did you have a picture in your stories today of like before and kind of like more muscle now? I don't know how long ago that was.
So that one, so the one that I actually made a post is that all those pictures, all those before pictures would have been 2018.
Okay.
January of 2018, again, kind of got sick of my own shit, and I booked a photo shoot for my birthday. And I was like, okay, I am dieting for this photo shoot for my birthday. And I dieted for 6 months. Mind you, at the time I was completely natural, no drugs, no steroids, no nothing, no even testosterone replacement therapy. I lost 47 pounds in 6 months, and I dieted down to 202 pounds.
Wow.
Like, as close to stage lean as I could have been at that time. And yeah, so that would have been 6 years ago now. 6 years ago in 8 weeks. 6 years ago in 8 weeks, I was 202 pounds. And yeah, at the time, as close as I could have been to stage lean. And dieted down for that photo shoot. And so, yeah, like you talk about like seasons, there was probably back around like 2015, I would have went through something similar where I was like probably 238, 240 and like wanted to diet down, wanted to get healthier. I think that was at the time I had hired my first coach and got down to like 212. And so, yeah, multiple seasons of maintenance, growth, some seasons of like, fuck it. And I think that's like, to give some, like maybe some value to people here is like, we need to be just as intentional with maintenance and surplus phases as we are with our dieting phases. And I think people would be a lot happier with their physiques long-term. I know that I could have taken my own advice that I'm spitting out of my mouth right now, a decade ago, that I'd probably be that much further along in my journey and happier with my physique along the way, because it's when you kind of like chuck it in the fuck it bucket and you're just like, for me, I'm really good with nailing my breakfast, doing pretty good with my lunch typically. And then like, if I'm not dieting or I'm not on point, quote unquote, is when I will, you know, dinner, it'll be like, pizza sounds good. Or, oh man, I stop off at the gas station and pick up. That's a big trigger for me. Is as a kid, my family was always kind of broke, didn't have a lot of money. And I always loved like stopping off at the gas station and grabbing a candy bar or candy. And so as an adult, that's a big thing. It's like, ooh, I'm going to pick up a diet soda and a candy bar. Ooh, I'm at the grocery store and I'm checking out. I'm going to grab a king size candy bar. I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is like, you can be at maintenance calories. And let's just say your maintenance calories, 2,500 calories. And throughout the week, I see this a lot, at least I personally experience it with myself, is I could do really well at hitting my maintenance calories, but then it would be stopping off and getting my cold brew. And I keep my coffee order pretty simple, you know, cold brew with sugar-free vanilla, right? Like, I think it's like 50 calories total. Mm-hmm. But I love my sweets and pastries in candy. So it's like, ooh, I'm going to have a cookie today. And what people don't realize is like, okay, you have a maintenance calories of 2,500 calories. You execute your food perfectly, but 3 days out of that entire week on your morning coffee trip, you grabbed a cookie, you grabbed a muffin, and you grabbed a cake pop. Well, the cookie is like 450 calories from Starbucks. It's atrocious. The muffins, I think, are even more. And the cake pop, you get lucky and it's like 150 calories. Well, there you've now accumulated an additional 1,000 calories on your week. And then that accumulates for weeks and months, right? Like an extra 1,000 calories over the course of like 4 weeks, you might notice maybe a half a pound to a pound of gain, maybe. And it's probably like water and inflammation, depending, right? Mm-hmm. But now you calculate that over the course of a year and I've gained 5 pounds and I don't know why.
Nothing's changed, right?
I can relate to exactly what you're saying. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw a crazy one not too long ago from a fellow coach. Was they had a client that was consuming so much Tic Tacs.
Oh my God.
Fucked up her deficit.
That's a lot of fucking Tic Tacs.
A lot of Tic Tacs.
That is a lot of Tic Tacs.
Like 40 containers for 40 calories for a container of one of those things or something.
I don't know, but now again, let's put that into perspective. This was probably a very small petite human being. Right. That's the unfair part of being like, hey, if you're 4'11" to 5'2", I hate to say this, for a majority of you, you have a lot less food freedom and it sucks, but it is the
what it is.
I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
I mean,
we can get mad about it or we can accept it.
It is very easy for me to go over my maintenance because I'm a smaller person. Like literally I can eat fucking candy every night, you know, and then suddenly I'm fucking done, or, you know, just an extra something here and there all the time. That shit adds up quickly.
Yeah. Cause even me, like, so I set my maintenance right now. Like I didn't play the reverse game.
Yeah.
Let's
go right back.
I'm like, nah, I'm shipping it. We're going to guess and we're going to 3,500 calories. And like right now I am eating a lot of food, a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm eating a lot of food, but there's still times where I'm like, ooh, man, like I'd love a cookie. And I like look at my nutrition for the day. I'm like, I've eaten plenty, not going to do it because it adds up.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How does that work with having the gastric bypass? So have you been able to increase your stomach throughout? Yeah. Okay.
Intentionally. So 10 out of 10, don't do this, right? Like don't do what I did. Don't get gastric bypass and don't intentionally stretch your stomach back out. But I did, because I always knew I did not want to be someone close to me at the time that had gastric bypass was a similar weight and they dropped like 220 pounds and they were 180 pounds in a bag of bones. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted that. I wanted to have muscle. I did not want to be a bag of bones.
Yeah,
for sure. Dude, it's been an hour already.
Damn.
We can listen to your story. Oh, fucking, I'm sure that we didn't cover the other phases of your life yet.
I know. We need part twos with a lot of our podcast.
Yeah, guests. Our podcast is just turning into long form now. We're like, everybody we're talking with lately is like, we need a part two. We need a part two. We need a part
we
two.
We do. Yeah. Which is nothing wrong with that.
No, it's just, we're having great conversation. Like you said,
I know.
That's what we're after.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'd be more than happy to do it. And I guess like the piece, you know, I'm glad that you did cover that, Matt, is seasons. Cause there is going to be seasons of like finances, relationships, everything, but there's going to be seasonality in your body too. Is like,
yeah,
I'll use this year. So I spent 90 days with the intention of getting to 10 to 12% body fat. Okay. And as I moved into Orlando, so like 10 days post Vegas, I finished 75 hard. I was plateaued. Oh, and get this will be a great one. I was plateaued for 5 weeks between 229 and 231. My body would not budge. And I completed 75 hard. I did not miss. I didn't miss a macro. I didn't miss a I didn't miss a workout, nothing. And it would not move. When I in and then I saw a fellow, you know, physique enhancement coach, and he's like, there. He's like, you push any lower and you run the risk of impacting your health potentially in a negative way for nothing. And because I had been dabbling, I had decreased food by about 600 calories and maintained relatively normal function, you know, over the course of that 5 weeks. I started to dabble with pulling an additional 250 calories, which put me at like 2100 calories. And I could do it, but I was literally eating meals and I was hungry. Like, finish a meal and I'm hungry. And it was messing with my mental performance. And in this season of my life and my professional life, I couldn't afford not to be able to not have a functioning brain.
Right.
And so it wasn't worth it. I knew that that would get me to necessarily, quote unquote, maybe an arbitrary number on the scale of where I wanted to go.
Right.
But his counsel of like, hey, bro, you're there. And hey, bro, you're there. As well as just realizing it was like, okay, I've probably come really close to 10 to 12% body fat or where I need to be to put my body in a really good position to move into the next season. And sure enough, I confirmed it 10 days later. I hopped on a DEXA scan and I was sitting at, according to the DEXA scan, 14% body fat. At that point, I increased food. I show up in Orlando. I had had tacos two nights back to back, and tacos here in Arizona are interesting because it's literally a corn tortilla, meat, onions, and cilantro and lime juice.
Yeah.
We're not talking like fat kid tacos. I had tacos two nights in a row. I get to Orlando. There was no CVS to pick up a protein bar and a shake and be like a good boy. I ended up having 20 wings from B-dubs and two beers. I went and worked out the next day. I woke up and I'm not kidding. I walked into that, the locker room after my workout. I picked up my shirt and I was like,
you're probably jacked.
What happened? I lost 8 pounds that week.
Holy fuck.
From 232 to 224.5 and shredded from head to toe. Like my body finally. So that's another thing is like, sometimes more isn't better. Better's better. Sometimes doing more is harmful. And so what happened? My body relaxed. It calmed down.
Yeah.
I dropped inflammation. And sure enough, I woke up and was like A-okay and like fine. And now as I push into this season, this next season, do I get to keep walking around and being jacked and shredded all the time? No, because right now I'm finding maintenance. I'm feeding myself. I'm getting my health back to where it needs to be to prepare for my next build and growth phase.
Right.
Seasons.
And try to explain that to someone in the beginning of their journey. Like I remember when I first started my fitness journey, right? I was like doing fucking workouts in a playground. Okay. And then I went from a playground to a fucking gym doing group fitness classes. It's like you are consistently changing as you change. Yep. It's never going to be like the same. It's not like a linear line to fucking greatness, you know? Yeah. Wish more people understood that. Like start where you are, do what the fuck you can. And you are going to start doing more and more and more as you get more advanced.
Well said.
You know,
Garrett, before we go and say goodbye, dude, plug yourself, please. How can people find you and learn more about you?
Yeah. Majority of my content is you're going to find me on Instagram, GQ Fitness with an extra S. At the time of the recording of this podcast, I am about a month out from launch of my podcast.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nutritional Health for Women podcast will be launching in May of 2024. Be on the lookout for that. With the launch of that podcast, it's looking like we will also be launching into YouTube. So you can find us anywhere you find our podcast. You can find us on YouTube as well as on Instagram. I will probably move. I have had a Instagram for my business. Most likely that page is going to turn into the Intentional Health for Women podcast Instagram. And that's pretty much everywhere. You can find me on Facebook. My Instagram posts it to my business page, Intentional Strength Training on Facebook. I never post anything on my personal Facebook. That's been a ghost town for probably 5 years. And someone will probably post my stuff on TikTok when I start launching the YouTube stuff.
Nice.
There you go. Awesome, man.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys for having me. Absolute pleasure.
Yes. Great chatting with you, dude. Talk to you soon.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. So why not share it with a friend who needs to hear it? Send us a DM on Instagram or email us at cutthecrappod@gmail.com and join our Patreon at patreon.com/cutthecrappodcast. As always, we appreciate you and thanks for being here.